Artificial intelligence has come a long way in the last several years. Past visions of AI reveal images of movies such as Blade Runner or RoboCop. Well, today, artificial intelligence can be an ample member of your workforce, but how? Hello, and welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast. I'm Herb Warple, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems and host of the show. In today's episode, we welcome in Herb Dwyer, CEO at MPEC, to discuss the best HVAC applications for AI, how AI can be used to mitigate frustration with ever-changing energy regulations, and much more. Herb, welcome to the broadcast. Please take a moment and introduce yourself and MPEC to those who are tuning in.
Hey, great. It's a pleasure to be here, Herb. Thanks for having me. I'm the co-founder and CEO of MPEC, a software development and financial technology company serving the commercial HVAC and energy engineering and building equipment industries. I'm a U.S. Marine and veteran, have worked in the energy efficiency, finance, and real estate industries since 2006. In my tenure in the energy efficiency industry, I oversaw over 300 equipment audits and design builds in energy efficiency and clean heating and cooling, which inspired me to co-found MPEC, which created the FastSite survey application.
So the FastSite survey app, could you please introduce us to that?
Sure, yeah. So the FastSite survey app is actually an artificial intelligence driven toolkit that includes the fastest way to inventory equipment and conduct a commercial building site survey or energy audit by automating and streamlining the site survey and proposal generation process down to a simple click of the smartphone's camera button.
Okay, why is a site survey an important consideration for a facility manager, and how frequently should they occur?
So that's a really interesting question, and the answer is not quite linear and simple. But you know, usually many times a quality and detail oriented site survey only needs to happen once, because once the equipment has been inventoried and captured, then it should be being managed somewhere, right? That data gets managed somewhere, hopefully. However, some of our customers and their customers must do them much more often due to certain regulations, let it be, a school district, even the military, and then of course, industry organization requirements that might require annual equipment audits.
Herb, I know MPEC is well versed in artificial intelligence or AI. Can you define the current state of AI in the built environment?
So that's another great question. AI obviously is artificial intelligence, and it includes, many different technologies that, many critics of AI will say that they're there to replace people, of course, because there's the drive for greater profits, lowering costs, looking to software to help automate, and AI is a big part of that. Our AI, is not that type of AI. Our AI actually enables more people to do more things, right? To get more audits done at a much lower cost and a much greater accuracy level. But as a bigger part in the built environment, there's a lot of aged infrastructure, especially in the Northeast United States and, of course, across the planet. AI is being used for many different things, to include energy efficiency, but also for even new construction. There's a lot of software that's coming on board that helps designers and owners be able to do better planning, engineers to do more accurate calculations and lower their costs to move through a project, all the way through to just building owners that are using AI to model their buildings and make better, more strategic decisions.
In the present tense, can you give an example of an HVACR or perhaps a built environment application that's best suited for AI?
Yeah, so I think across the board, anybody that's in the AI industry is going to tell you that work that is repetitive in nature, that is around data and manipulation or management of data, is probably really well suited for AI as it stands today. We saw Elon Musk just come out with his robot that has AI on board. It looks pretty human-like, and what he said is like, we created this robot to handle, just tasks that are really mundane and repetitive, such as cleaning the house, kind of like the Jetsons, right? And all the different robots they had at their house to help them around the house. But that is kind of, how I see AI being applicable in the HVACR industry.
And what about going forward? I know AI is just kind of getting out of the starting blocks here. What applications do you foresee AI being most useful for in the near future?
You know, again, it's a lot of the repetitive, you know, data collection, data management type work, a lot of, tactical and strategic planning type applications. You know, I think the, you know, the challenge isn't so much the technology that's out there, that the tech is incredible. And just the entrepreneurs that are out there, that are the scientists and engineers that are building this tech are, they're way ahead of themselves, right? And it's, I don't believe that that's really the challenge that our industry is facing. When I say our industry, the HVACR industry, I really believe it's more about the people that are operating the industry, you know, building owners, engineers. There's a tradition to these industries that things have always been done a certain way, and they're always going to be done a certain way.
But that could all possibly change with technology, right? AI is a great way to attract some young engineers or some young workers who have grown up with the digital world and are looking to use those skills, right?
Yeah, you know, that's a really, it's an interesting statement, because that is true, that we're finding that the younger engineers that are coming through, I mean, a good number of them aren't even using LinkedIn, which is really interesting to me. But at the same time, they are used to technology. It's a part of their lives. And the conversation I've had with these engineers is that they've been frustrated coming to an industry where things have always been done a certain way, and there's a lack of technology in the industry. And for them, it's just like, well, this doesn't make any sense. Why is there technology in this industry? And I think, you know, a big part of that is that we're dealing with men and women who are experts, right? That are pragmatic engineers. Millions of Americans every single day, even in the middle of a pandemic, step into an elevator to go up hundreds of floors in their building without even thinking twice about their safety. Really stop and think about it. It's kind of a situation where you're stuck in a box going up, you know, hundreds of floors, possibly, you know, in a building that, you know, you're relying on engineers and engineering calculations as the assumptions, right, to build this really incredible building and to ensure people's safety, right? So engineers really are important to that. And it's important that, you know, they are risk adverse. And this is kind of where there's an intersection of technology and kind of this, the professional way of being risk adverse on purpose. It's important, but where do those two coincide, and how does someone who's risk adverse, and has always been doing something a certain way on purpose, start to embrace technology, right? Embrace something that's new and different, but it could be better many times.
Herb, renewable energy continues to challenge the mold of traditional energy, traditional HVACR, that model. How can AI be used to mitigate frustration when it comes to renewable energy and the changing energy regulations that'll follow that?
Yeah, you know, I think we're still really early on. I've seen a lot of, let's take a step back. This is really about big data, right? And the collection and management of data, which is partially a collection thereof, and the focus on this data is part of energy regulations, right? And these new renewable energy standards that are coming out. So it is requiring building owners and engineers and others to think differently about buildings. It could be either stick or carrot. You're looking, you know, let's talk about New York City. They have local law 87, 97, and many others that are deploying a stick or carrot, process to building owners. Like, either get your buildings in check, you know, reduce your carbon emissions, or we're going to charge you for it, right? And it's not just New York City, it's across the board. So building owners are like, well, what do I do, right? So, you know, there's a million different technologies out there, and service providers are like, hey, I have the right way. I have the right way. No, I have the right way, right? And it leaves them just wondering what to do. And really what they need to do is start with an energy engineer to do an energy audit, right? But then that data that gets collected needs to go to others to do their jobs as well, right? So we're talking, you know, contractors or ESCOs, or even, you know, facility managers that need to make decisions, right? Again, going back to this big data. So I think that big data is definitely here to stay, and we're going to start seeing a lot more effort, especially with utilities, and how heavily they're being regulated, and municipalities that are starting to challenge themselves and others to be more energy efficient, be greener, right? So we can reduce climate change, at least the effects of climate change, as best we can.
I know technology can be scary. Some of that fear revolves around change or cost. For those facility managers or engineers who are afraid of AI or have been cautious about dipping their toes into next generation technology, where do you suggest they start?
Sure. You know, and given my comment earlier, you know, about engineers being very pragmatic on purpose, which is really important in their jobs to be, I totally understand, you know, their apprehension to want to try new things, especially with technology, you know, especially in the day and age of movies like Terminator. But of course, that's not where we're at with technology today. But, you know, I can understand, again, the apprehension in anybody that's a professional engineer, they have to do other certifications, you know, CEM, whatever it might be. They all have to do continuing education, right? And what the point of continuing education is to require you as a professional to be on top of the industry and understand trends and best practices and things like that. And technology does have a place for that. And there are ways to test technology without going all in on it, right? And I think that, you know, as part of your continuing education plan as a professional, that even if it's not a course you take, see what else is out there, see what people are using, and just be open and curious to these other technologies that are out there that may be able to help you do your job better, faster, more accurately, and possibly at less cost. Technology is not going to go away. It's only going to start to, you know, grow and grow in the industry. But I think it's really about, again, just being naturally curious and seeing what's out there as a professional.
Herb, we've covered quite a bit in this interview, but is there any parting advice you want to share for the consulting or specifying engineers who are tuning in?
No, I think I covered it well in the last question. Just be naturally curious. There's good tech out there. There's bad tech out there. I think what I've seen in at least this industry, that some of the best tech is being created by men and women that have come from the industry. I've completed over 300 energy audits myself. I know what it's like to be in a dark dungeon of a boiler room, getting stuff all over my clothes, and climbing really scary ladders to the rooftops and being in the parapets and look at all the different machines on the rooftops. I mean, and that's the technology that you may want to test, may come from people who are coming from the industry, in the end, we'll probably be able to speak the same language as you do in your industry. But give it a shot. You never know. It may actually make for a better life for you.
Well, Herb, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today. If anyone's interested in connecting with you or MPEC, where should they turn?
Sure. You can actually find the latest MPEC and FastSight survey news on our website at mpec.co. It's mpec.co. Or you can follow us at Empower Equity on Facebook or Twitter, and on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/company/Empower Equity.
Well, thanks again, Herb. It's been a pleasure. We hope to chat again with you soon.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Herb. Appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Herb Dwyer. And for more information on MPEC, visit www.mpec.co. That's mpeq.co. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on Spotify. Show your support for industry journalism by rating and reviewing this podcast. Doing so will help us reach a much broader audience. Also, please subscribe or bookmark us so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a Swift Kick. We'll see you next time.